You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Welcome back to E-Commerce Fastlane. This is Steve Hutt. You know, thank you so much for tuning in today. You know, with so many podcast choices to choose from, I truly appreciate the fact that you're picking today's episode. You're going to gain a lot of insights and a lot of knowledge all around the topics of either building, growing, or scaling your Shopify brand. Now, all episodes are available from your favorite podcast apps and all the platforms, including Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and now we're streaming live on Amazon Music. So if you check out Amazon, your Amazon Prime member, you might want to check that out. You can actually like and subscribe to the show there. But for a deeper dive into all the topics that we chat about today, be sure to check out our website. We're at ecommercefastlane.com. And there you'll find extended insights, a couple links and resources. And there's even a special bonus for our listeners today about getting just learning more about your inventory. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, in today's episode, I'm chatting with Bahadir, who's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Fabricator. And they're at fabricator.io. And I'm going to make sure I get this correct, but it's Fabricator with a K, not a C. So Fabricator. So Fabricator.io, and what they are is a company, they truly are redefining kind of inventory management for direct-to-consumer brands, particularly those that are on Shopify. Really, what makes them stand out? I've done a lot of research kind of before recording today, and they really are, what they're doing, what I feel that they stand out on is they're an intelligent kind of supply planning software, and it really caters to the needs really of growing Shopify stores. Regardless if you're self-fulfilled or at a 3PL, there really is a need for this particular piece of software, and you'll learn more about that in a minute. Their platform really, from what I can see, is I'm going to learn a lot about this, but it's really designed to help businesses to confidently make informed decisions around revenue supply decisions. I think it's really important. I look at some of the features, you know, there's forecasting, you know, you'll know when a SKU is going to run out, there's real-time inventory insights. Really, at the end of the day, it really helps to make sure that you don't miss out on potential sales due to stockouts. And I think that's one of the things that this software really helps manage and optimize a brand for growth. So I'm going to jump in, and I'd like to welcome Bahadir to the podcast.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for, I know our time zones are pretty much opposite. Early morning for me, late evening for you. And I appreciate the evening hustle. I think where there's talent and opportunity, I really want to tell the story. And I appreciate the fact you're getting on the show late at night to tell the world about kind of what you've been building and so many brands in the Shopify ecosystem that you are helping today. So I'm excited to kind of unpack and learn more.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I never like to put, when I make my intros to my podcast, I just through my own research and downloading the app in my demo store and things like that. So I have a reasonable cursory knowledge of kind of what you do, but I'd rather hear it in your own words. So could you briefly describe Fabricator, the software itself, and then some of the key problems that you believe it's solving today for Shopify brands?
Yeah, in the simplest terms, Fabricator is a growth-driven inventory planning software that we designed specifically for D2C brands operating on Shopify. Our primary goal is to provide brands with a precise operational roadmap which aligns with their growth targets. This is very important for us because what I've seen most of the time, D2Cs are struggling with planning growth, planning demand and supply side in parallel, because these are kind of like two different worlds to work with. And Fabricator is kind of bridging that gap by offering integrations and intuitive interface, both for marketing people and also for supply chain people. So you don't need a supply chain degree to use Fabricator. We do all the heavy lifting in the background and we leave the critical decisions to you. We get the most out of your working capital and keep your company growing without stumbling into inventory issues.
Great. That's lovely. I want to talk about the roots of the company, because I believe that, you know, every company has kind of like founding story. And I just would, since you're a co-founder, this is likely not your first foray into kind of a SaaS product. I know we kind of talked offline a little bit about your past. It's so interesting. And so I'd love you to share with my audience today about your journey and the kind of the inspiration about where the product is today.
Yeah, we're actually not too far from the D2C. We are two co-founders. I'm on the business side and the other co-founder is the CTO building the product. We met at the college. It's been more than 10 years we're building things together. But we're actually coming at the intersection of D2C and software development. As a digital product manager, I've worked at Martha Stewart's Martha Spoon, building a digital CX that is in line with the supply chain and operations of an international public company. So actually the scale was quite big, more than 10 countries, VC-backed business growing fast. So I've learned a lot about D2C and the supply chain challenges, especially we're talking about perishable goods on that side of the vertical. It was a lot of learning for me. At the same time, my co-founder was an early hire for a company called Parachute, which built the QuickBooks for the Turkish market. Mm. And his experience in SOP building and my takeaways from the D2C world made the perfect combination for us building an innovative solution for an underserved market in our eyes.
Yeah, you know, and I would agree with that. I mean, you know, with my 6 years at Shopify and had quite a large book of merchants that I helped manage, and I definitely heard the conversations, the narrative around inventory and inventory planning and the forecasting side of it. It's such an interesting market, but it's crucial that, you know, we really want kind of the demand side of the books, so to speak, and then the supply side. And sometimes I find that these two entities, they could be the same person, but usually they're not, but they're usually kind of in silos. And I think that's where a fabricator fits into the puzzle a bit, that we have this demand opportunity of wanting to sell, the marketers really trying to push the product and sales and promotions and flash sale and all these different things that are happening. But on the flip side, how are we thinking about lead times and the supply? And so I don't know if you have any comments around these two kind of silos and kind of how you kind of mesh them together.
Yeah, as you mentioned, they're usually silos. If they're at the early stage of their journey, it's usually one person. The co-founder is doing the heavy lifting of the inventory ops plus the marketing side. Maybe they're working with some outsource agencies to handle the marketing, but still, these two functions are usually not talking to each other. And that's where we're seeing the problem when it comes to balancing your working capital between generating demand and supplying for that demand, because there is a delay factoring in. The money you spend in marketing is usually paying off immediately or in very short periods of time. And then scale up your Google ads with a double budget. You will see some results tomorrow. But supply chain is the opposite. Even if you pay the twice of the money, you will not always get the twice as much products, or you will not get them twice as fast. So there's a delay between, and any growth lever that you pull on the marketing side is affecting inventory. That's why it's usually very difficult to bring these two plans on the same timeline and build an inventory plan for it. And that's where I see D2C founders are struggling with, because these are two different games and it's a cognitive challenge to do to both. And that's where Fabricator comes in.
So I want to chat a bit about the Shopify app, because I think that's one of your claim to fame. You really do double down and focus in the Shopify ecosystem. And I'm just going to say it right up front, your pricing is very affordable, starting at $100 a month, which is just ridiculous for what the software actually does. Pays for itself many times over. And there is a 14-day free trial to really kick the tires a bit. But just, can you walk us through a bit about what happens? I've done it already, but I want to make sure my listeners understand what happens in the background and what can people expect. So they appreciate that maybe they're doing spreadsheets or gut instinct about what they need to do with their inventory and the forecasting side of that. But they believe there's a better way. And there truly is. That's why you're listening to today's show. And so they add the Fabricator Inventory Assistant, let's call it, to your Shopify store. and I'll put the link in the show notes. What happens next as soon as you add it on to a person's store? Just kind of walk us through all the steps. Like, I just want to understand what the requirements are of the founder or the operationals person. How are they, like, what happens next?
It's actually pretty straightforward. We're trying to make it as self-onboarding as possible. So help of our users are able to set it up on their own and just kickstart their inventory planning. But what happens right after you install the app, basically we start syncing your historical order data from Shopify and build our, the baseline for the forecasting. This, of course, gives us an idea about how your inventory will perform in the future, looking at the previous trends, what's coming up next. But then we ask our users to give us a few inputs, like who are your suppliers? How do you match your inventory with the suppliers? What's the lead time per supplier, per SKU? And then what is your appetite for restocking? Like, do you want to restock every quarter? Do you want to restock every week? That highly depends on your cash availability. If you are thin on cash, you may want to do smaller purchase orders every week. But if you're in a more confident position, especially after you hit product market fit, you can do it quarterly. So after taking these inputs, our system starts generating the suggestions, the forecasts. And we have one famous page called Supply Planning. And this is a page where most of our users love it because it gives answers to three important questions, like which products should I restock, when should I restock, and how many items I should restock. By looking at this page every Monday, they're able to create purchase orders or just go through their inventory positions, and we make it a no-brainer for them. Once they decide what they're going to purchase, they can just add them to a basket kind of, and then create a purchase order from there and share it with their supplier, sync it with their 3PL. If this is a requirement, we have integrations too. And then they sit and wait for that purchase order to arrive. Let's flash forward, like 60 days passed, the lead time is fulfilled, you receive the products and you need to update your inventory. If this is a self-managed warehouse, you can update your inventory right from Fabricator. If it's a 3PL, you let your 3PL do it. We also play nicely with the 3PLs. So you let them update your inventory and Fabricator just closes the PO as fulfilled. So that's how easy it is. It only takes like 30 or 40 minutes to set up your whole account. If you have open POs from other platforms or from your Excel sheets, we also support importing of those. So yeah, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's what I found too when I added to my demo store. I didn't have any sales data, but added it on. I could see the process would be straightforward. It'd take a little longer for larger brands, obviously, with importing a lot of the legacy order history and details and stuff. But that's cool that there's a nice kind of a self-serve kind of flow available to kind of make it all work. I have another question around back orders, because I think it's another area that I find interesting where a lot of brands, when a variant goes out of stock, you know, let's say it's in the apparel market. Let's say footwear, for example, in a certain size is out of stock, say the size 10, the sneaker, and usually they just kind of like hide or gray out that variant. But what they don't do very well, a lot of brands, is they're not making any kind of opportunity in there and saying, hey, you understand the lead time of the 10, you feel fairly confident that, hey, it's going to arrive, it's going to ship in 2 weeks. Sometimes it's almost worth, if there is technology to do that, I just want to throw back to you, but like, is there technology and can your solution kind of help with potential variant backorder issues or a SKU backorder problem where you don't want to, because what I always see on most sites is like, hey, give us your email address and kind of we'll give you this back in stock notification, which then they're gone. And yes, and actually I have quite a few things over the BFCM time where my size is not available. I particularly wanted a particular shirt and it's just my size not available. So I had to put my email address in and here we are, like, gosh, like 5 weeks later and still don't have an email yet. So obviously their lead time is long still. And so how do you deal with back in stock kind of situations or back orders? Is it like through messaging, and do we actually collect the money up front knowing that we're going to ship in the future? Mm-hmm. And like, love your feedback on that.
Actually, there's a lot to talk about back orders. I think it's a very powerful tool for increasing the conversion rates, but also helping your cash flow, because you're selling inventory in transit. And even before it lands in your warehouse, you can actually start collecting payments and finance that PO with the sales of your own store. Of course, when you're doing this, you have to play it nicely, because You don't want your customers to feel like they're being tricked into some kind of a deal where the product will not be shipped for a long time. So back orders are usually nicer when it's a short period of time, like 2 to 3 weeks. But anything that goes beyond a month, question whether your product is worth it. So for example, for everyday streetwear, maybe 2 weeks is okay, and 1 month is too much, just like the example that you gave. But if you're selling a high-end electronics or maybe high-end clothes, we have one customer right now who's selling leather boots that are above $2,000 a pair, and their customers are willing to wait for more than 2 months because the price and the uniqueness of the product is just fits nicely in that case. And they're able to take back orders for longer periods of time. So it depends what kind of a product you're selling to. But back orders is kind of a traumatizing story for most of the merchants. Like when I ask them, why don't you take back orders? Why do you have the back in stock email app on your store?
Right.
Because instead of collecting money from people, you're collecting emails. And most of the consumers are doing impulsive shopping.
Right.
And the propensity of buying something in the first appearance is higher compared to sending them an email 2 weeks after. So your conversion drops. I think everyone knows who's listening to this podcast. So we're trying to bring that purchasing moment to an earliest date possible by connecting your purchase orders to your back orders, because the merchants who had bad experience with the back orders is usually about the times when the purchase order was delayed. They already had some customers who actually pre-ordered that product.
Right.
And they need to go back and inform them like, hey, sorry, we actually had a mistake in the supply chain. It's out of our hands, but we wanted to let you know that it's delayed. So doing this is actually costly because you need to go to your Shopify admin, find the orders which are being affected, send them an email through Klaviyo or whatever you use. It's painful. And the cost of doing this is usually what keeps merchants away from taking back orders. Just the overhead cost is too much when things go sideways. And we're talking about supply chain. It always goes sideways. It's not an exception. So we cover all of these cases by nicely connecting purchase orders to your storefront, also to your Klaviyo. So what we do, on your product page, we show when the product is going to be shipped based on your purchase order. We do this automatically for one or hundreds of SKUs that's in your PO. And the customer sees that date on the product page, in the basket, checkout, order confirmation emails, everywhere, at every single step of the buying journey. So you're being transparent. Mm-hmm. This is also preventing the cases where the customer might be too impulsive to buy, and then they come back and say like, hey, it's been 1 week, where's my order? Because they didn't read the notes. So we try to over-communicate that this is a pre-order at every single step of the buying journey.
Yeah,
I think this is also compliant in most of the countries' trade laws, because there are certain rules around taking pre-orders. And the laws mostly say that you need to be transparent, give a sensible date of shipment. And if there's any delay, you need to go back to the customer, either refund or notify them. So we cover all of these cases, and we also put our merchants in a legally safe place in most of the cases. And if there's a delay with the PO, with a single click of a button, our Klaviyo integration fires up, sends an email to these customers who are being affected from the delay. And I've seen some merchants using it in a very smart way. Like, this is a crisis situation where you expect customers to go crazy, but you can sweeten them by giving a discount code for their next purchase. So turning that crisis moment into a retention opportunity, it's as simple as writing a nice marketing email, combining it with the apology email.
Yeah.
So they might even be retaining customers after that experience.
Yeah, I love the idea of over-communicating, because I think you're right. Sometimes people don't read all the messaging on the website that, hey, we're shipping in 2 weeks, and they didn't realize that. But on the flip side, like, the only alternative is just like adding an email address and that sort of like follow-up flow of kind of back in stock notification kind of thing. So I love what you're building. I think, you know, brands that are listening today, you might want to like really seriously think about that. If you go to the Fabricator website, I'm reading it now too about how to turn the out of stock products into revenue. It's very interesting and truly understanding. And I just love the language you use is transparent communication along the customer journey. Like you understand the PO for the product from the supplier to the warehouse. They understand that lead time. You feel pretty confident about that. And so that's why you're able to, I guess, you know, with a shipment date really aligned with incoming inventory transfers, like it's pretty neat. And you having, and I've seen even a button on one of the sites here in the case study, which we'll talk about in a sec, but clicking a pre-order button, pretty neat. And shipment starts April 2nd, let's say, of 2024. And it's like, wow, okay, cool. I'll take that. So yeah, pretty neat. I want to pivot over to a story now because I think I'm motivated. I know my listeners are really motivated too when they hear a real life success story. And I know you have quite a few reviews and case studies on your website, but I don't know if you could maybe share a Shopify store's like their journey, kind of maybe some of the challenges that they were facing leading up to finding Fabricator and just trying to understand how it was instrumental, you know, in their customer experience or their growth or just improved efficiencies overall. So hopefully you can share a brand or two and kind of their story.
Yeah, of course. Actually, one of our customers from New York is called Swoverles. They're selling a very unique product, very comfortable overalls. And the founder, Kyle, is an awesome guy. He is very transparent about his own journey. So that's why I feel comfortable sharing his experience with Fabricator. They've been running this brand quite successfully for a long time. And they were using Excel sheets for inventory planning. And that was not only time consuming for them, but it was also annoying. And it had some risks of like copy-pasting data wrongly, not downloading the right data from Shopify, which is the basis for their Excel sheet. So they were looking for a new solution after a massive out of stock, which hurt their cash flows. And luckily, they found us on the App Store. Since they adopted Fabricator, they've been able to significantly reduce the time they spend on optimizing their inventory to just 20 minutes per week. And there's actually a video on our App Store listing as well. This is recorded by Kyle himself. Voluntarily, not paid or anything, because yeah, he loves Fabricator so much. He explains how he uses it. You can listen to it from the first hand as well if you go to the website or the App Store listing.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that now, how he switched to Fabricator from tedious Excel sheets. And so, yeah, very neat, really, really neat, interesting brand. And yeah, with 60,000 some customers and now completely having accurate kind of inventory and forecasting and planning tool and can really manage POs and back orders. Sounds like he's very clearly offering great customer experience to his customers. So,
and I think our sweetest spot is in terms of like what kind of brands we serve. It's fashion apparel brands usually because they have very high number of SKUs. And just like the example you gave about the t-shirts or shoes, when you're out of stock for one size, the whole product sales is being affected because people like to order a couple of sizes at once. And even if they're like one size up is not in stock, it drives them not to buy that product in the end. So that's why our sweet spot is high number of SKUs, variants. It's difficult to manage. And then also high growth, or there is an active marketing strategy. It's not very useful for mom and pop kind of shops because it might be a little bit on the expensive end for them. Also, if they're running one or two products only, the value that we deliver is not going to be as high as we are delivering to companies with like thousands of SKUs. So that's why I really like Swoverles as an example. It checks all the boxes.
Yeah. Hilarious brand of like sweatpants and overalls. So put that, I'm going to give them a shout out. Maybe I'll have them on the podcast. Maybe you can make a warm intro. I'd love to hear their entrepreneurial story.
You'll love it.
Yeah, with both their tech stack and using Fabricator together. So we'll talk offline about that. I want to talk a little bit about, well, you know, something like every industry certainly has its narratives. And, you know, and I think some of them are, I'd argue, maybe even misconceptions, you know. And as an expert in your field, like, are there any kind of myths that you would like to address or debunk as it relates to inventory and inventory planning and the customer experience business in general?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. So most of the D2C founders that I've met, they're amazing people when it comes to product design, storytelling, marketing. But I also see them being quite distant to supply chain. How I define supply chain is mostly the unsexy part of the business that everyone is trying to turn their back. But in e-commerce, you don't really have that opportunity because inventory is the fuel of your business. That's what you're selling. And supply chain is your source where you get this fuel from. And every merchant out there has to be informed about the supply chain decisions in their company. But when companies start to scale, they tend to either outsource this because it seems too complicated to them, or they're too foreign to this subject. They don't really dive into it, but it really is not, because you don't need a supply chain degree to run this. There are kind of a couple of basic dimensions that you need to understand, like, as you said, the lead time, mm-hmm. supplier relationship, the payment terms, out of stock dates, and of course your marketing schedule. So if you align everything, it's not that hard. And that's what we're trying to do. And if you actually hired a person instead of buying Fabricator as a software, this would be the head of operations. Mm. Because we're trying to replicate. We are trying to build a companion which acts as the virtual head of operations for your business. The one who helps you to set targets, compare your targets against what the actual metrics, raise the red flag if there's a risk on the way, or send you a message when there's an opportunity in your inventory. So really, really doing the hard work in the back end and just giving you pure insights about what your next action should be. And then you're the one still in the driving seat deciding what to do or not. But it's your co-pilot basically telling which direction to go for, which navigates in the complexities of supply chain, yeah, by doing the hard part itself in the software.
I see. So I want to talk a little bit about the future of the product. I mean, you're clearly solving some great challenges right now. You know, I'm on the App Store right now. Lots of 5-star ratings and reviews and some great case studies. So clearly problems are being solved. I know, I'm not sure if you can share your kind of like your public roadmap and kind of where you're headed. I mean, you know, most people that are listening to the show, they want to understand kind of like where the future is of the product. You know, and one of the big topics that seem to come up, obviously, is these large language models and AI. And I think even Shopify is, you know, has kind of like in the early days right now with Sidekick as their kind of AI kind of commerce assistant, I guess they're calling it. And so I just wanted to have your feedback about, like, I guess the product today, but then where do we see it 6 months or a year from now? Anything you can talk publicly about, you know, as the product's going to iterate?
Yeah, our roadmap is usually driven by our users. We are always listening what they need and trying to deliver it in the best way possible. So I can be transparent with most of the things. Okay. And as you mentioned, the Sidekick and LLM solutions are making a powerful entry in the e-commerce space. There's a lot of plenty of solutions that makes good job with AI in marketing, but supply chain side is kind of lagging this kind of a focus. And since we have the focus of building the virtual head of operations, that's our mission. We want to bring this software experience as close as possible to a human experience. So you should be able to ask questions to Fabricator, get answers just like you would get from your human colleagues who tells you, like, hey, we need to check this purchase order. It doesn't look right. There might be a risk of running out of stock even earlier than we thought. So, and then this kind of a Q&A will be possible by implementing an LLM solution within our tech stack. And that's on our roadmap as an R&D project. Mm-hmm. It's one thing that we are really excited about. And I think Shopify did a great job by announcing the Sidekick, because this will prepare the merchants, like in terms of a mindset, this will prepare them to interact with the Sidekick on a daily basis, which will be an easier entry for us as well. The second thing is about integration with other platforms. What I've seen in the past 2 years, especially after the pandemic, while Shopify remains as a significant platform, omnichannel is also going right. big, and we need to support marketplaces, offline sales, anywhere our merchants are selling. And this year, actually, Shopify is becoming a commerce company rather than an e-commerce company like in the past. So we want to follow that mindset as well. Make sure Fabricator is there wherever the inventory transaction is happening. So lots of integrations coming this year with the logistics partners, WMS, 3PLs, and channel aggregators will be in our focus. The last bit I can mention is very actually exciting looking at today's news. Maybe you heard of what's happening in the Red Sea, where the containers are being stuck again in the Suez Canal, into the politics happening over there. And I think Maersk, one of the biggest logistics companies, just announced that they will halt that route for an unforeseeable time. It has a great impact on the costs, and this will lead most of the merchants to ship via air, which is more costly, and CO2 footprint is way higher than ocean. So we want to also do our fair share in terms of sustainability. This year, we are launching a feature that's called Freight Planner. So it's going to tell the merchants how they can split their purchase orders between air and ocean, so they can not only save on the expenses of the air shipment, but also save on the CO2 part of it. So yeah, this is another thing that we want to cover.
Yeah, this is lovely. And that's such an interesting challenge going on right now with these containers. And I know, kind of reminds me of a story of a brand I managed, and they had a one single SKU that popped for them. And they made decisions they planned, I think, through gut that the marketer said, no, I believe we're going to sell about 5,000 pieces, place their order, 3 month lead time. It was a lighted LED mirror. So in the beauty market, it was portable and people loved it. And, they had a lot of influencers behind it, and it just kind of blew up. They burned through their inventory in less than a week. And, here they are now. And, that the challenge gets is that sometimes a supplier, like the physical manufacturer, doesn't have them in stock because this is a private labeled product that's uniquely theirs. Maybe they've just bought the rights to the molds and, from a certain supplier. And, maybe this was unforeseen, but, they were able to get other products in and they had to change things around, but, having to go air freight and all these sort of things, it really does, but there's still a lead time for manufacturing. So it's such an interesting challenge versus, hey, as a business operator and an ops person, we really got to work with marketing, hand in hand to saying, what can we do? Here's where we're at today. Here's some of the, just truly taking time out. It's in early 2024 right now. It's only Q1. Great opportunity to really think and plan about what are we doing for our summer. And believe it or not, our BFCM and our next year's, I call it this year, but like the Q4 kind of holiday season, it's such an interesting time now to think and plan about that sort of thing. So these sort of problems don't come up. And then now the air freight thing is, so that's going to cause a margin issue and having to raise your prices. So it's such an interesting time, but having your solution kind of like locked in and having a weekly workflow of how you understand your current inventory position and the future inventory positions and what you're doing about it and how you're, as you say, over-communicating with your customers. So I think that's really, really, really awesome.
Totally. Inventory is not a problem of tomorrow. It's always today. Or it was yesterday most of the time.
Absolutely. So we're just about ready to wrap up for our show today. And I have a joke on this show, but I'm on page 2 now of notes. So I'm, a life of learning. That's one of my mantras. I love getting founders on and understanding just the deep roots of kind of why you're building your product. I clearly understand it now. So that's exciting. And I know that there's, lots of case studies. So that's great. Those that are listening today, you might want to take this product for a test drive because I think it's worth it. There is a 14-day free trial, but is there anything, any key insights or any kind of final thoughts that you just would like to leave our listeners before we wrap up for today?
True. So yeah, as I said, inventory is a problem for your business the moment you kickstarted that business. And don't postpone building your inventory strategy. It's the fuel of your business. Invest in good supply chain practices that will take you to your next million in sales. It doesn't have to be a software. I'm not trying to do a hard pitch here, but if Excel sheets is what it works for you, stick to that in the beginning, because there will be a moment you will feel like your business actually overgrown Excel sheets and you will look for a solution, but just have a process in place. regardless of what tool you use. So that's my single important advice. Sometimes merchants can get blinded by their early success of like scaling sales. And I've seen hard falls when they run out of stock. It's very difficult to kickstart that growth engine once you start selling for a while. So don't take that risk. Invest in it as early as possible.
Love it. And don't be like one of my merchants. And unfortunately, they had to go bankrupt in the end, all because of a 60% drop in sales and then a lot of infrastructure in place based on putting their eggs in one basket and not planning the explosive growth of one particular SKU and not having contingency plans of what happens if certain thing runs out. And I think that's where your tool kind of fits into the mix. It gets you closer to the fold about where you're at, planning it, organizing it, and just streamline the whole process of PO all the way through to the customer and being able to do back orders correctly. So I think that's really notable and love your solution. So I know we had a quick chit chat before recording and understand that for those that are interested and wanting to learn more about Fabricator, and with an IO, by the way, so I'll put that in the show notes, Fabricator with a K, but .io. Where do you want to send our listeners to learn more, or is there an audit, or can we get on a call? Just what do you recommend as our next steps?
The best part of my job is actually talking to merchants. I'm still the one who's leading the sales calls, demo calls, because I learn a lot from the merchants and I share as much as I can with them when it comes to supply chain and logistics. So here, I will be very happy to offer a free consultation call with anyone interested. Can book me from the link that we share at the notes of this episode. I'll be the one who's taking the call and talking about your supply chain pains and solutions, hopefully, in that 30 minutes that we have.
I appreciate that. So I think at the end of the day, this is a no-cost kind of offer just to kind of understand your current workflow. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. And so if you're wondering if, in fact, you're planning your inventory correctly, if you want to improve your customer experience overall as it relates to inventory and back orders and PO generations from your supplier, it's worth a chat. What I'll do, I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'll create a redirect, ecommercefastlane.com/fabricator. That's with a K. In the show notes, I'll redirect to your landing page. And then you can, I guess, book a 30-minute free consultation just to understand where you're at. So I think it's totally worth it. But once again, thank you so much, Bahadur, for coming on. It's been very eye-opening. You're building an amazing product. Thank you for being a great partner in the Shopify ecosystem and playing nicely. That's the key. You're playing nicely with, 3PLs and existing tech stack. So everything all works together. I just want to thank you for building this product, and I wish you continued success in the next iteration.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was my pleasure. I wish everyone a successful year ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great evening for you and morning for me.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.